Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 8:02 a.m. on Tuesday, April 6th, 2021. I want to thank our House Record Secretary Lori Rowland and our LIO moderator Kelsey Riker for helping us with behind-the-scenes work here that allows for our committee to run smoothly. As we start, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative McCarty, Representative Drummond, Co-Chair Hannon, Representative Prox, Representative McCabe, and myself, Co-Chair Schrage. Doesn't look like we have, and then just to let the record reflect that Representative Tarr is online. Let's see, today the committee will be taking up House Joint Resolution 14, the Federal Safe Banking Act, and House Bill 22, Shared Animal and Raw Milk Products, or as we like to call it, the Free the Cheese Act. And we will first take up HJR 14, sponsored by Representative Rasmussen. This is the second hearing on HJR 14 in the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Let's see. I believe we do not have anyone online for public testimony. And so with that, okay, very good. So the co-chairs did not receive any amendments for the resolution. Is there any further discussion on HJR 14? And let the record reflect that Representative Pocketock joined at 8:04 a.m. Welcome. Good morning. All right. Seeing none, I will entertain a motion, Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move version 32-LS0617/A of House Joint Resolution 14 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note from committee.
All right. Seeing no objections, HJR 14 moves from committee. We will take a brief at ease so members can sign the report. All right, we're back on the record. Our second and final order of business today is HB 22, the Shared Animal and Raw Milk Products, sponsored by Representative Tarr. This is the second hearing of the bill in our committee. We took public testimony at our last meeting, and so we shouldn't need to do that today. Let's see, the co-chairs did not receive any amendments for HB 22. Is there any further discussion for HB 22? Representative McCabe.
Thanks, Co-Chair Schrage. So I just wanted to, I actually went and visited the goat share place outside of Big Lake this weekend. And I just wanted to say I went in there sort of, I mean, they knew I was coming, but I just wanted to watch the whole process. I wanted to watch them doing exactly what they said they'd do, which is clean the udder, you know, do the milking, sterilize everything, put the antibacterial thing on the udder after they're done, and the fact that they have a clean milking spot that's separate from the barn and all that. And I just wanted to check it out, and I have to say that I'm favorably impressed. So I think that by and large, at least if these folks are a representation of how things go, that the Milkshire folks are doing what they're supposed to be doing for the health and cleanliness and safety of people that are, you know, are part of their herd share program. So I just kind of want to get that on the record because I think we all worry a little bit about safety and cleanliness and that sort of thing, and these folks were amazing. So I just thought I'd put that on the record. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you for those comments. Are there any Representative McCarty?
I have a question. So with this moving on and even passing, does that mean that there's a potential of an increase in sales or exposure to this for food security in the state?
Maybe Representative Tarr is able to take that if she's online, or maybe staff to Representative Tarr?
Good morning. This is Representative Tarr. And I'm sorry, through the chair to Representative McCarty, I didn't quite get the last part was something food security, but the first part I didn't quite get.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Tarr, that question by this passing and moving on to do hopefully so, that would that increase our food security component in the state because now there's more opportunity for such?
Through the chair to Representative McCarty, great question, and I think all of us that are supporting this bill think yes, that in fact this will improve food security because it will allow the farmers to have additional opportunities to build their herd share programs, and it will allow more Alaskans to have access to these fresh Alaskan-grown products that they like. And so it'll be a win-win for both the farmers and the consumers. And then because they're all small businesses, also good for our economy.
Follow-up, Representative McCarty.
So a follow-up with that is that with this growth and such, is there also potential growth of food to feed the goats or feed the animals that you're seeing, or and are there intrusions to that growth?
Through the chair to Representative McCarty, there's a little bit of the chicken or the egg with that kind of scenario, and that's one of the reasons people like this option to be able to start small and then scale up. And the same is true on the other side of the equation. So I know there are people out there and already engaged with our farmers in producing food for their animals. And I think there would be additional opportunity there. And right now what's great is organizations like the Alaska Food Policy Council and the Alaska Farmers Market Association are working together more strongly than ever to think about the logistics and the food supply chain and really make sure that we cover all of those pieces as we try to build our food system in Alaska.
You have another follow-up, Representative McCarty? All
right. Well, I'll just to follow up, you have been enlightening me in this whole piece and seen some things happening most recently that very concerned for the security of our food, our sovereignty to exist, and being disconnected from services. So as the snow may be melting, spring may be coming, I hear rumor of such, that farmers are going to be having to plant crops and stuff like that for the food there. And I hear that there's certain fields that have not been sowed for years. And if this is an increase in need, then you know, really want to make the statement of like, let's get all these crops going because we could at least store food for these animals and such.
Representative McCabe.
So thanks. Through the chair, Rep. McCarty, maybe I could help you out a little bit with this. So this farm that I went to, there were 16 milking goats, about 40 head or a little bit less than 40, I think, with the yearlings and the bucks and all that sort of thing. They go through 1,300 bales of hay a year, if I remember properly. Alaska Mill and Feed gets an inordinate amount of business from these folks because the goats take a very specific sort of protein-enriched enriched feed. What else can I tell you about the... they have 80... herd share members right now, and if they could absolutely increase, the problem with some herd share members is, say you're a North Slope worker and you and your herd share is a gallon of milk a week, but you're on the slope for 2 weeks and you can't come pick up your gallon. The object here is to be able to change that gallon into cheese, which is more storable than milk for you, so that you can be a full herd share member. And so the whole process and the way it works, this bill will amazingly increase the sort of the ability to flex with somebody that goes out of state or that works on an oil rig or works on the North Slope or that sort of thing. And as far as the feed, I don't think they can use the Timothy hay from Point McKenzie. They use the Lazy Mountain hay. It's a different brand. And they've had a relationship with the hay grower on Lazy Mountain for, I think he said, 20 years or 20 plus years. So in answer to your question, if we grow herd, absolutely. 1,300 head for 40-ish, or 1,300 bales for 40-ish head, I think that it would have a trickle-down economic effect to other farmers. So.
Wonderful. Thank you both for those comments. Representative Prox, I believe you had a question or a comment?
Well, just a comment. I wanted to point out that this also helps the invasive weed problem. I have a kind of a serious infestation of bird vetch that was imported by the university 50 years ago. But it has been a problem. But my neighbors got a couple of goats, and they love my bird vet, so there's a win-win here.
Wonderful. Representative Hannon.
Thank you. And thank you, Rep. Tarr, for the education of the agriculture growth potential in Alaska. And I think Representative McCarty is, you know, speaking to sort of long supply chain issues that Alaska's always been aware of. And that shortening of supply chain to the farmer to consumer line that herd shares step into, you know, is really the sort of the best, the shortest supply chain you can have. And I'll actually call out Rep. Tarr's staff, Thatcher Brower, who is a commercial fisherman in the other half of his life and has been one of those for a long time, a direct seller of his product to consumers. But anyone who is doing that, you know, producing the food and delivering it to consumers, understands it, that consumer side of the market is just as labor intensive as the production side of the market, whether you're a fisherman or a farmer. And, you know, over the last 50 years in the United States, what we've grown into is sort of an industrial model. The producers produce it, and then you send it down the supply chain for someone else to find the consumers and deliver it and all those logistics. But Alaska being, you know, so decentralized in our population for most of the state, that we really are a place where shortening that supply chain to neighborhood growers is much easier to do. And Anchorage being the hub of all of Alaska, providing an angle of going, well, can you get it into Anchorage for a farmer's market periodically? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing. I look forward to the day that I have a herd share, you know, goat cheese option. I don't think I have anybody here in Northern Southeast who's doing that. But I do try and take advantage of as many short production chains of local food as possible. And again, Fisherman Brower is one of the renowned providers of salmon and shrimp. His shrimp are incredible. Had them for Easter dinner. I've been known to buy my organic chicken out of a place in Palmer once a year and, you know, fly them down, because knowing the product, where it comes from, also gives you that safety of, if the product isn't good, if it is spoiled or you're dissatisfied, you know exactly where in the supply chain that error, that complaint, that concern turns back to. So I think it provides the consumer a very short, clear safety net of food, not just security, but food health guidance and sanitation. Because if it's not, the producer will know pretty quickly, because the consumers aren't bashful, especially Alaskan consumers, of letting their provider know there's a problem. And I think that benefits us all. And our grandparents would all be proud that we are returning to agricultural roots.
Wonderful. And Representative McCabe.
So not to wear out my welcome here, but exactly what you said. The reason for pasteurization and homogenization was because of the supply chain. So I think it started in New York in 1910. I mean, we drank raw goat's milk and cow's milk for hundreds, if not thousands, of years before we got to the U.S. And then we suddenly had this long supply chain where the milk is in a truck, for maybe a non-refrigerated truck back then, for a long period of time before it finally got from the farm to New York City. So the pasteurization came about to protect the citizens of New York City. And you're exactly right. If we get closer to the producer, the chances of getting sick from the milk is way less. So the transportation is key here, and you're exactly right. Getting closer is beneficial to all of us, especially in Alaska with our food security needs. So I'm a fan, if you can't tell.
Wonderful. Any last comments before we move this bill from committee? Seeing none, I will just add that I would like to add my thanks to Representative Tarr for moving this bill and working to improve our food security here in Alaska and to free the cheese. So with that, do we have a motion, Madam Co-Chair?
I move version 32LS0212/A of House Bill 22 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note from committee.
All right, seeing no objection, House Bill 22 moves from committee. Please, members, stay after we gavel out to sign the report. Our next meeting will be this Thursday, April 8th, where the committee will have its first hearing and public testimony on House Bill 127, the Muni Bond Bank UA Loan and Bond Limits Bill. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing nothing, we are adjourned at 8:21 a.m.